Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. So this brings me to the question. You made a post earlier in your Instagram, which I follow, and you said talked about the chemicals that control the mind, and you were referring to something financial. I can't remember exactly what it was, but you know, there are a lot of people who, you know, whether it's the laziness or whatever, that fear of missing out, dismiss Bitcoin, and there's some chemicals in their mind which are handcuffing them from, you know, great opportunity. Why are our brains wired like that?
Sure. So there are really two parts of the brain that control all of our decisions. One is your neurochemistry. These are your primary hormones like dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, oxytocin, and cortisol. And then there is your subconscious programming. And so what happens is whenever we're going out, you know, throughout our day and we're feeling an emotion of some kind, maybe it's hunger, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's stress, that is being caused by these hormones. And so if you start to feel stress or anxiety, that's because your body is releasing cortisol. Cortisol's job is to make you feel those emotions because there's something that you're experiencing that your brain does not want you to experience. It wants you to stop doing that. It wants you to go do something else. And so cortisol causes that stress response, and it's going to redirect you to something else that's going to give you the antidote to cortisol, which is in the form of one of those other four chemicals that are the happy chemicals, if you will, specifically and most typically that's going to be dopamine or serotonin. So dopamine is your primary pleasure hormone that you get whenever you eat ice cream or candy or make love or make money, do anything or go shopping, anything that gives you a sense of pleasure and happiness. And so if we're in a really stressful state and we're feeling cortisol, our body doesn't like that. Our brain doesn't like that. It wants us to go pursue dopamine. Well, what is one of the fastest ways to get dopamine in the modern world today? It's to turn on YouTube and watch a video that distracts us. It's to go to the grocery store and buy a pint of ice cream. It's to go down to the local Best Buy or wherever, or Amazon, and buy something. And from a modern context, that is the equivalent of going out and acquiring resources. And we have to understand that we are, even though we're living in a modern age, we have software and, you know, firmware basically that's 10, 20, 30,000 years old. Our bodies and our brains are not used to operating in a society or a world that has unlimited resources and unlimited abundance, unlimited sources of dopamine and serotonin, frankly. So in the past, well, we would go out and we would pick berries off of a bush or go shoot a deer or build a campfire or go do something that would give us pleasure in those ways. Well, now we can get that same fix in an infinite number of different ways. And what happens is we become addicted to that dopamine rush. And it's just like coffee or caffeine, where you have to ingest more of it and more of it to get the same fix. And so an analogy that I've used, or an example that I've used, is when it comes to buying supercars. And I've always been a supercar guy, you know,
racing Audi R8 when the last time I met you, I think.
Yeah, I think I've owned like 12 different supercars at this point. And I remember when I bought that my first Ferrari and I took delivery of it at the dealership, it was an unbelievable experience that I'll never forget. And when you have a chemical rush of some kind and you combine that with adrenaline and emotion, it makes those neural connections stronger. So the more emotion there is around an experience, the stronger that experience gets embedded into the memory. And this on a dark side happens whenever you experience something traumatic, right? Something that goes horribly, terribly wrong in your childhood or at any point in life. And that memory just into your brain forever. It's there's a lot of emotion attached to those chemicals at that same time, and it hardwired it into your brain. Well, the same thing can happen again on a pleasure side. So when you fire up that car, you're getting all kinds of chemicals. You're getting the dopamine of the pleasure of buying this beautiful machine. You're getting the serotonin, which is your status hormone. Your body releases serotonin when you do anything that is going to elevate your perceived level of status in society, because it equates your level of status with your level of survivability and your ability to find a mate. The more status you have in society, the more likely it is that you're going to survive, and you're also going to be able to find a mate and procreate. And so it rewards you for doing things that increase your status level in society by making you feel good. And how do we demonstrate our level of society in today, right? It's with the car that we drive. It's with the clothes that we wear, the watch that we wear.
Just to interrupt you there, Mike. Sorry to interrupt you. That is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm down in Florida, and I was just at Bal Harbour Mall the other day.
Yep.
And that is probably one of the wealthiest malls in America. And out in front, so they have, this is the only place I've ever been where they have different levels of valet parking. So you can pay extra to have your puke green Lamborghini in the front row of valet parking. And yesterday there was actually two same colored Lamborghinis in the same row. And then there was, you know, a supercar beside it. And I mean, just walk around that mall and it's like, this is peacocking at its highest level. And it was so fascinating.
So why do men specifically who make money as soon as they start to make it go out and tend to buy those types of objects? And I, again, am super guilty of this. I just wasn't aware of what I was doing. My brain was wanting me to do that because it wants me to demonstrate my level of status in society so that I could find a mate, right? And so we're completely unaware of this programming, this very primitive ancient programming, but it runs all of the decisions that we're making. And so when you take those hormones that are driving you to take those actions and do certain things with your money, they're then filtered through your subconscious program. If you have a program that says, I'm not good enough at some point that you've adopted in your life, then you're going to tend to go buy things, status symbols that demonstrate publicly that you are good enough, like a supercar or like a Rolex or like whatever it may be, right? If you're a woman, your Gucci purse and, you know, shoes and all of that stuff. If you have a different subconscious program running, I'm trying to think of a good example, where that maybe that not good enough story isn't there. Well, then you're not going to necessarily feel compelled to go buy those things. And what's really interesting is when you look at how these factors combine into people's decision-making processes, you take people, for example, like, you know, Mark Ford or Porter Stansberry, and I've had both of them on the podcast so years ago, so I got to really hear their stories. They were both very, very frugal when they were starting their businesses and making money. And there's a lot of people out there a few people out there who are wired that way as well. They actually get pleasure and a dopamine release from saving money and from investing that money, while the vast majority of Americans, I'd say 90 to 95%, get pleasure from spending their money. And that's because we're bombarded with marketing messages all day long that generate emotions in us that then, or bring up to the surface problems or insecurities we have. And then they offer a solution in the form of their product or service that we then go give our money to get rid of that anxiety, that stress, or that cortisol that we were feeling. And as soon as we buy that product, well, guess what? This is exercise equipment, right? You would know this very well. As soon as we buy that fitness machine, well, the cortisol goes away and the stress that you were feeling goes away. And now the machine just sits there and it never really gets used. And that's because that chemical was what was driving that decision. And once that chemical dissipated, it's no longer needed anymore.
I have a quick question for you, Mike. What are the chemicals in the mind or the decision-making processes of somebody who grew up with the money is evil, money is hard to get? So many entrepreneurs, it's almost like they get these golden handcuffs at some point. They just can't break through another level because of these self-defeating beliefs. Are those similar to, you know, are there chemicals controlling their mind there, and how can they break free of that?
Well, so those are subconscious programs. So the chemical is going to generate the need or the desire to take an action. Mm-hmm. And then that need or desire is going to be translated, filtered through your subconscious program. And that's why you can give 100 people $100,000, right? You can say, here's a $100,000 check for each of you. Now go invest it. And you're going to get 100 different results. Some are going to make a lot of money. Some are going to lose the money. Some are going to do mediocre with it, et cetera, et cetera. But you're going to get 100 different results. And you could even say, hey, here's $100,000 and you can only invest it in stocks. You're still going to get 100 different results, because people are making their decisions through the filter of the subconscious programs. And so ultimately I realized, you know, I've made a ton of money in my career, and I've always found a way to take a ton of risk, and I've tend to lose it. And different startups that I've made or investments that I've made. And I was like, why does this pattern keep repeating? And for me, it had to do with a couple of things, but my core story was I'm not good enough. And so I had to, bullied when I was growing up in school, picked on for years, and I had adopted that internal program. And so for me, spending my money on things like supercars were ways, my way of showing the world that, hey, look, I am good enough now, right? I did it. So it's really taking money I'm making as an adult and making decisions through a filter that was acquired when I was 10 years old. And so until you address those two internal factors, you're never going to get the results that you want with money. And that's really what I've learned over the last 3 years of my study around the brain and neurochemistry and the subconscious, is that when it comes to investing, most people think it's just about the strategy. Okay, what do you do with the money? Do we put it in real estate or dividend stocks or whatever it may be? And all of the books that you could get on the bookstore are all about strategies and financial plans. None of them are talking about the two components that come before the strategy, and that is your neurochemistry and your subconscious. And if you don't address those two things first, you will screw up the third one. And that's why we see people who win the lottery, typically 9 out of 10 go broke. That's why we see people who are celebrities and professional athletes like Mike Tyson and there's dozens of them out there.
Well, yeah. The football players like Terrell Owens is another guy that comes to mind.
Nicolas Cage, you name it, right? Who've made hundreds of millions of dollars, and all
Johnny
of these
Depp
people
is another one.
Lost their money because they were making it, but they hadn't addressed the first two pieces. And I guarantee you, most people who are the top performers in the world have that drive that got them there because they came from a painful place in their past. I don't see anyone who had a fairy story childhood, basically, who's an uber successful, driven person. It just typically doesn't happen. And so when you look at all of these high achievers and you look at the ones who continue to lose their money and get stuck in that same cycle, it's because they haven't addressed that shit from their childhood. And so they just keep making these decisions, unfortunately, that sabotage what they're trying to do.
So it sounds like you with this deep dive that you've done, the insight of you to realize why you did certain things, that you then have you come up with a system? Have you come up with a formula that, like, oh, if this is my situation, then here's the best approach for me. Talk to us about that, and then tell us, like, do you also have systems for other people, or do they have to figure it out on their own?
Yeah. So, well, that this has kind of become my life's work at this time. So over the last year, we've completely changed. Well, I've completely changed, my life. And ironically, this all started when I went through a brain injury 3 years ago, and I had to basically spend 2.5 years going through every form of therapy that you can think of, from hypnotherapy to plant medicines to ketamine to traditional talk therapy to EMDR. And I was forced to figure out how the brain works and how your neurochemistry works, because I had to figure out how to heal myself. And the byproduct of that was, holy smokes, I now understand why I've made all of the decisions that we make and why people make the decisions that they do and how all of this comes together. And a byproduct of not being able to work for 3 years is, you know, holy crap, I really wish I had some stable streams of truly passive investment income. I've always had very successful million-dollar businesses, but I didn't have any real passive income sources like real estate or dividend stocks or anything like that. And going through a brain injury for 2.5 years without the ability to continue working on your business was one of the single most difficult things I could have ever gone through. And I really came out of that swearing that I would never go through that experience again. And so my number one priority became creating passive income from investments in my life to the point where we can replace all of our monthly bills and we'd never have to work again if we want to. So that became the primary goal in our life about a year ago. And we ended up creating a system called Richer Every Day that we use to do that on a daily basis that literally makes us a little bit richer every single day. And we start by becoming aware of our neurochemical habits and patterns. That's piece number one. Step number two is once you're aware of those, then you start to retrain yourself. And so if you have a pattern that, you know, where you want to go get dopamine by spending money whenever you feel stress or anxiety, well, we need to change that. And so we're going to interrupt that pattern and then reprogram it so that you get a dopamine hit whenever you save or invest money, and you're going to receive a cortisol hit whenever you spend money. And that is just a fundamental you know, piece that has to be in place if you want to accumulate wealth and make a, you know, build up a large amount of money. Step number two, once we do that, is to dive into your subconscious programs and stories. So what are the filters that you have and the subconscious beliefs that you have that were created in your childhood that are causing you to make irrational, ineffective decisions when it comes to building wealth? That is a little bit more of a challenging process because that usually, or at least it's most effectively done with the assistance of a coach or a hypnotherapist, someone who knows how to access your subconscious and who can help assist you. And as far as navigating that goes, it's a little bit more difficult to do on your own. Once you resolve and identify those stories, well, then those are gone. And so now when you're in a similar situation the next time, you're going to make completely different situations. Finally, once you've done those two things, well, then you're ready for an investment strategy. And the strategies that we talk about and focus on are those that simply produce passive income. And so that goes back to kind of my example with Bitcoin, where I'm riding these Bitcoin waves and then I cash out and then I put them in a high yield crypto savings account that produces a 10% cash return per year. And the goal for us is to hit $100,000 per month in passive income within the next 36 months. That's something we call our freedom number. And yeah, so that's really the process.
Where can people learn about Richer Every Day?
Yeah, richereveryday.com. And we just did a private beta launch for my audience just a week or two ago. So it is not open to the public right now, but if you really want access to it, just email mike@richereveryday.com. And I'll send you a link to purchase it if you'd like to at a discount, the same discount we offered to my audience. And appreciate then I'd that. Say in 2 or 3 months, we'll be relaunching it to the public. So
great. Great. I look forward to it. Maybe you can give me like a quick off the top of your head feedback on like for me, I'm the type of person who, well, first of all, you know, I grew up on a farm. We didn't have a lot of money. My parents argued all the time. My dad drank away a lot of the money that he had. My mother probably never made more than $20,000 in a year as a secretary. I came from that background, the common background that money doesn't grow on trees. It wasn't too much that rich people were bad, but a little bit. And then I don't like spending money. I got lucky that I bought a little bit of Bitcoin because of Matt Smith's recommendation years ago, but it's not life-changing money, at least not at the current levels, maybe at your future levels. But I'm very hesitant, very conservative, once bitten, twice shy. I don't know if that's enough information for you to say, oh, that's a typical archetype or to give any feedback on it, but that's the way it is.
Well, I can tell you how it typically works. If someone has had a challenge making money, You know, in my previous line of work in, you know, the internet marketing entrepreneur space, 80 to 90% of our students or customers that you would come across are sharp people who buy the courses, and they've been buying the courses for years. They've been going to all of the different events and seminars, and they just never really break through. They never get to a point where they launch that business and start making money. And that's repeated for 5, 7, 10 years, and they're just stuck in that same place. And while others have just gone on to meteoric success. So what can happen is if you were young, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and it could have been just something in passing, it could have been on a regular occasion in your family. But if somebody said something that money is bad, money is evil, or rich people are bad, or we don't like those people because they're rich or they're stuck up or whatever it may be, as a little child, your brain is just a full-on activated sponge. It absorbs absolutely everything, and it doesn't have the ability to rationally judge what is being said. But if it's being said by someone that's in your immediate family or your friend group, which would be considered your tribe, the modern day version of a tribe, and it's kind of a warning, then what your brain can do is it can say, oh, okay, in our group, our family, our tribe, we don't want to make a lot of money because people who make a lot of money are bad. And if we make a lot of money, well, then we'll be viewed as bad, which means we might get kicked out of the tribe. And if we get kicked out of the tribe, we're going to die. Because that was the reality of the situation a few thousand years ago. And so your brain's number one priority is survival. Its second priority is procreation. And so if your brain adopted or overheard and then internalized any kind of thought that has to, that connects making money with being kicked out of your tribe, which then again equals your death at that point, it will never let you make money. It's not going to happen, and you're not going to understand why. But it's that little seed that's been implanted in your subconscious program that's running in the background that's just trying to make sure you stay alive. And it makes absolutely no sense in a modern context, but that's unfortunately how humans are wired to grow, learn, and develop. And that's usually the issue.
That's fascinating. Mike, I could talk to you for a lot longer on so much stuff around crypto and getting rich. Maybe we'll schedule another call, but this has been fantastic. So first of all, richereveryday.com. If people want to take advantage of your very gracious offer, then email mike@richereveryday.com. What about for the crypto side of things? Where do people go to learn more on that?
Sure. Yeah, I've got a beginner's course. It's $97. It's at mikescryptocourse.com. And that is everything that a beginner needs to know in order to get into crypto investing for the very first time. I would also recommend it for anyone who currently owns crypto, because it's going to cover some very important lessons that I've learned when it comes to selling, when it comes to identifying market tops, and specifically keeping your assets safe so they don't get stolen like mine were back in 2014. So,
absolutely. Well, thank you very much, my friend. Again,
yeah, thanks for having me.
I'll shoot you another message on Instagram. Maybe we'll have another chat, because I didn't even get to ask you about how you survived the ice storm, because I know that you also do a lot of, I don't know if I should say that you do a lot of survival type stuff, but you're prepared, yeah. Right?
Yeah, again, back in 2008, I took a love of what I call strategic prepping, and that was really inspired by, again, Porter and people like Kyle Bass, some of the most successful, you know, entrepreneurs in the world who are worth hundreds of millions, billions of dollars. And they all have ranches and they all have piles of food and guns and ammo. And I thought that was really interesting. And what I realized is that they have those things so that no matter what happens in the world, when things get crazy, crazy times create crazy opportunities. And as an investor, that's when you want to be engaged and looking for opportunities the most, is when the world is in chaos and everybody's at the grocery store waiting in line to buy food. You don't want to be in that line. You want to be at home looking for opportunities to take advantage of. And so when you are already prepared and have all of the necessities, you can stay calm, you can stay clear, you can make really good decisions instead of irrational decisions that are based on fear and emotion. And I did the same thing and really got into strategic prepping, which which was great, you know, during this crazy health crisis and the snowpocalypse we had here in Austin. It was definitely a validating moment that was pretty fun. So
yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, Mike. Really appreciate your time, and we'll get in touch with you soon.
You bet.
All right. Bye.